You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Philip Rivers announced his retirement. So we have an opening in Indianapolis. Maybe New Orleans as well. I saw where Drew Brees' wife tweeted out the injuries that he had. In her latest Instagram post, Drew Brees' wife, Brittany, said that Drew played with all of these injuries this season. Torn rotator cuff, torn fascia in his foot, plus 11 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, which we already knew about. I don't know why she would do that unless she may be saying, if he does step down, this is why he's stepping down. Maybe reminding Drew of all the things that he went through as well. But I don't know if the criticism, you know, we never know about the wife because they see everything, they read everything, and then they decide if they want to tell their husband, you know, the negative that they hear or see, read. But she put that out there. And look, Drew Brees needs no excuses to retire if that's what he chooses to do. If he decides to come back, you know, can a just coming back from a torn rotator, that's huge. And it's an inexact science. Having, you know, had rotator surgery, and I wasn't coming back to anything, just day-to-day life. And then you're going to say, hey, now can you throw a football? And it feels like, you know, with Drew, with all these injuries, maybe even more vulnerable and at that age. So I'm not going to be surprised if he retires. Part of me hopes he retires because it's time to move on. But if he wants to play, great. I just feel like we've seen the best of Drew Brees. And I always talk about this, that it's selfish when I have this approach. Philip Rivers could play again. And he had a really good year. He had a far better year than I think most of us, certainly I thought. And he's on a good team. And he was healthy. You know, they went up to Buffalo and went toe-to-toe, and I thought they were the better team there. I thought Philip Rivers would come back. I don't think that Drew Brees will come back. But Philip Rivers has decided to retire and was going to, I think all along, wanted to coach high school football. Because I asked him about being a broadcaster, and it felt like he had made up his mind, maybe a commitment to his hometown, that he would go back there and be the head coach of the local football team. And I understand that. He's got 9 kids. You know, you're going to be on the road, and you're not on the road for just one day. You're going to be on the road for, you know, 3 or 4 days when you do an NFL game. And he probably thought, you know what? It's time for me not to be selfish, for me to be unselfish and be around, be a coach, give back. And those are wonderful traits for Philip Rivers. So I wish him the best, and hopefully we'll have a chance to have him on here soon. Yeah, Paul.
The Colts and Saints, they have some saucy quarterback situations because none of them really have a guy they want to go with, and they're pretty high-end teams, especially the Saints. But these are teams that are contenders, not in the market for, you know, a 21-year-old quarterback.
Well, the cupboard's bare in Indianapolis. You have Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, at least, in New Orleans.
I don't know which is the better situation. 2 iffy quarterbacks or no, nobody?
I would rather have Jameis Winston than Taysom Hill as my quarterback. I think he has the qualities, capabilities of being a starting quarterback. It still comes down to, can he outthink the opposition? Can Jameis Winston rely on thinking his way through a game, avoid mistakes? Because he's not Brett Favre. And you can't be one of those, hey, I'm just going to wing it, or I can throw it wherever I want to throw it. Can't. I don't care who you are. But if Jameis Winston's able to do that and use this as sort of a master class in quarterbacking, and he listened to Sean Payton, and he listened to Drew Brees, then maybe you come out of this and you could still be the starting quarterback. Yeah, McClellan.
Jameis is a free agent, though. Don't you think he'll get some attention? There's a report, Lock Come Forward reported that Payton wants him back badly, and he wants to platoon him and Hill, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Hill's numbers are pretty good in his starts. I mean, is it possible? He wasn't bad. I mean, we have to face it. He had like 102 rating. He threw for some yards.
All right. I mean,
look, not bad. I'm not saying, I don't know how he even did that, to be honest. I guess no one had any tape on him.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill? That'd be my question. Because, and it's a long pause back there, by the way.
No, I mean, it seems tough. But By the way, I thought Drew Brees was fairly close this year. They were the best team. That game on Sunday easily could have gone the other way.
Yeah, but they're just so non-threatening because Michael Thomas didn't have one catch.
But he was hurt. It came out afterwards.
I know, but you would think Terrell Owens played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl. I mean, you get your, if you're on the field, you get your players the ball. I mean, Michael Thomas gets targeted 12, 15 times a game. And all Drew could throw was the slant. He couldn't throw anything else. And the defense knew this. Tampa Bay, they kept creeping up, creeping up, creeping up.
They were up 20-13, and they started to roll. And then Jared Cook gives it up at the 10-yard line, and it's
you're
over.
Right. They could have won.
They probably should have. They were at home and up. They were up 10 points. They were up significantly.
They were not going to beat Green Bay and Green Bay.
No way. You're right.
In my opinion. But you're right. They could have won that game. I mean, I didn't think Tampa looked great. But they played well enough when they needed to. And you don't make mistakes. You know, Tampa can't go into Green Bay and all of a sudden, you know, you have a couple of turnovers there. Even though you've blown out Green Bay earlier in the year. How big is this game for Tom Brady? Because he's won these Super Bowls. He's been in 9. He's won 6. But how big is this that this is your first season removed from the Patriots? And you're going into Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, the MVP. I can't say it's bigger than a Super Bowl, but it honestly feels like it's bigger than a Super Bowl. If Tom Brady goes in and outplays Aaron Rodgers, at his age, you got to factor that in. Does that sound strange when I say that to you guys?
Well, you're right, because when people talk about the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the game, Brady is now in that next tier. He's not on that list anymore. It's Rodgers, Mahomes, probably Russell Wilson, and then that second tier comes in and Brady's mixed in there.
Yeah. I think this is... It's one of the biggest games of his career. And it's on a short list of biggest games of his career. I mean, you wouldn't think Brady has any more upside left. Like, you're the GOAT, 9 Super Bowls, you won 6. But here you are at 43 on the road against Rodgers, who is his best season ever. And, you know, Drew Brees just retired. Phillip Rivers just retired. Ben Roethlisberger is probably retiring. Eli's got, like, Brady is, he's there. He's the guy that's going to turn out the lights, you know, when he leaves the room. He just doesn't want to turn out the lights. I might be overstating this, but man, this is on the short list of most important games in Brady's career.
Hot.
Yes, McClellan.
It feels a lot like Joe. If he loses, it's Joe Montana in Kansas City. It feels to me a little bit like that, although he's better than Montana. Actually, he's a little better than Montana was statistically. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but Montana was close.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he'd gotten over that hump to a Super Bowl, he'd be the GOAT, not Tom Brady. So you're right. Like,
yeah, it just sounds strange that an NFC title game is maybe more or bigger for Tom Brady. I'm not saying more important, like just a bigger moment there in his career, given that he left the Patriots and his age, and he's taking on Rodgers at Lambeau. Yeah, Paul.
Joe Montana's first year with Kansas City after he was basically asked to leave the Niners. He was 11-5. He made the Pro Bowl, and they lost the AFC title game to the Bills. But he was one game away from the Super Bowl, his first year away.
Let's see. Nate in Oklahoma. Hey, Nate, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How fitting would it be if Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers retired the same year? I wanted to touch on Phillip Rivers. I feel like he was a forgotten son of the trifecta that was the 2004 draft class with Eli and Big Ben and Helm. You know, Eli had the notoriety of beating Tom Brady twice in Super Bowl. Big Ben with his Super Bowl titles. Phillip Rivers was just that constant nagging quarterback that you just always had to worry about. You know, he had LaDainian early in his career, but he was just something in San Diego you didn't think about until you kind of had to face him. And I'm really glad that he had the career that he did, and wish him the best.
Yeah, I like him. I do. I always thought he was a good guest. He just didn't have postseason success. And that's the measuring stick for quarterbacks. We overvalue Super Bowls. We should value them, but that usually ends a debate. Like Phil Sims, was a very good quarterback with the Giants. Jeff Hostetler won the Super Bowl that year when Phil got hurt. And if Phil Sims had that Super Bowl, like the difference, I think, between Phil Sims being a Hall of Famer and not, is he wasn't the quarterback when the Giants beat the Bills. That's it. Two rings is really hard to deny, although we've done that with Jim Plunkett. But it comes down to that's how important winning Super Bowls can be. Jesse in Los Angeles is back. Hey, Jess, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dickie.
Hey.
Hey, so last night I was sort of off night in the NBA, so I got started on the hockey season, and I was watching Caps and Pens, great matchup, Crosby with the overtime winner, and the broadcasters did a great job, Pierre Maguire's no slouches, you know, there was something missing from a matchup like that, and it was the sound and vocabulary of Doc Emmerich, so I wanted to ask you and the boys if there was a broadcaster that when they left, it sort of took something away from the experience.
Keith Jackson, when he left college football, took away... I mean, that there was something about Keith Jackson's voice. Vin leaving the Dodgers. Certainly Doc Emmerich. I would tune into a game if Doc was doing it. Or if I hear his voice, I'm staying with it a little bit longer. Yeah, Steve.
Growing up a Yankee fan in New Jersey, Phil Rizzuto was essentially the voice of baseball for me. Yeah. And as much as he was like a character and like as funny as he was sort of that to me, he sounded like what baseball was supposed to sound like.
I was just listening to Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell, and it came on the radio, and you have the baseball call because it's about a guy and a girl in a car, and he's treating it like it's a baseball game. First base, second base, third, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, Todd.
I used to really like Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy in the old Mets days. Even Lindsey Nelson goes a little further back, but that just brought me back to a lot of childhood memories. I thought that they were a really fun team.
But a national broadcaster, not a local one, because we grew up with the local one. I had Marty Benjamin and Joe Nuxall on the Reds games, and they were great. But a national voice, that's different. And that's where I have Keith Jackson. It was just something about when Keith came on, he had that excitement, had that twang, and it felt like he truly enjoyed the game. Yeah, McLevin.
When they pulled Brent Musburger at the end off college football, I kind of missed that. I felt he said big game.
I always liked him better as a studio host, but yeah, I understand that. Where you know, Johnny Miller in golf is another voice where when I heard it, it always sounded... It was just different because I didn't think Johnny was going to throw verbal bouquets at every golfer. Like, I thought that he was going to tell you what his unvarnished opinion, and I always appreciated that. But there's so many broadcasters down through the years that, you know, you just hear that voice and you go, you know, when Howard Cosell was, that was a unique voice. It wasn't a trained voice. But he rivaled the game that he was doing, or a boxing match, probably more so as a boxing commentator than what he did in the booth. Because he wasn't a football guy. But in boxing, it felt like he was more of a boxing guy because his relationship with Muhammad Ali. Let me see. Taylor in South Dakota. Hey, Taylor, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. I'm batting 1,000. Second time I called, second time I got in. Anyway, I think that I'm a big Green Bay Packers fan. I have been since I was a little kid. But I think if Tom Brady goes into Lambeau, beats Aaron Rodgers, and then faces Mahomes in the Super Bowl and sticks at the NFL and beats Mahomes in the Super Bowl, he can just kind of wash his hands and be like, I did it. I went on the road. I won all three games on the road in the playoffs. I beat the supposed second best 12 in the league, and I beat Mahomes, the guy you think is the guy everybody thinks is the king.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that I don't think anybody will have gone through three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in succession, and first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Mahomes, Rodgers, Breeze. If it happened, now you can say, well, Breeze at the end of his career. Rodgers is playing at an all-time high, and we don't... How about we wait and see what happens?
No, let's do it right now.
Yeah,
let's rank them right now.
We got to have a hot take. this would be as impressive as anything Brady ever accomplished. But let's see if he gets through the Green Bay Packers right now. Yes, McLovin.
You mean rolling through the AFC East with those, and then beating an overrated Colts team who had feasted on the AFC South? Oh, wow. Impressive. 16-0. Woof.
The Dunder Mifflin family has a new home. The Office streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know every quote, you're a newbie to Scranton, you can stream every episode again and again. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to stream now. Steve in Virginia joins us. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Well, I love you, Dan, and I love the staff there, and a very entertaining show. I've been listening to you for years. But I almost got in an accident driving down the road when all of you in unison just said Tom Brady is a second-tier quarterback. I was like, holy cow. I had to pull over to the side.
Well, Paulie said it, but, you know, when... Paulie, do you want to stand by that Tom Brady's a second-tier quarterback?
I think it's the conventional wisdom of people who know a lot more about football that the top tier of quarterbacks in the NFL right now is Rodgers, Mahomes, and I think it's Russell Wilson, but it's definitely Rodgers, Mahomes. Then the next tier of, you know, like A quarterbacks is Tom Brady.
Oh, I think
tier.
You only have two. Okay. I think you have Rodgers and Mahomes, and Brady is not with them.
I think that's fair to say. Now, yeah. We're not talking historically.
Now, the next level.
We're talking playing today.
Yeah, but the next level could mean you're the fifth-best quarterback. Fourth
sure.
best quarterback. You're not one of the top two. You're not Rodgers, and you're not Mahomes. Yeah, see.
So where do you put Brady then, if we sort of follow this thread a little more, because why not? Where, who do you put first, Ooh. Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady?
I would put Tom Brady.
How about Josh Allen?
I would put Josh Allen.
Deshaun Watson.
I would put Deshaun Watson.
So you would have Russell Wilson, did you say?
Yeah, probably. I mean, his second half was not good at all.
You'd put Russell Wilson over TB12?
Probably. Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But Ryan Tannehill.
I would put him beneath Tom.
Justin Herbert.
Well.
Derek Carr.
Don't forget Andy Dalton in his backup role with the Cowboys.
Yeah, thank you, McLovin.
If we had more time, we'd get to Trubisky.
No, how much time would we need?
If it's a seven-hour show?
You know, the fact that that Colts job, whoever the quarterback there is, that's a good team. I really like them a lot this year. But if I'm the Colts, I don't want to trade for Carson Wentz. Because I get damaged, expensive. And how costly is it going to be? Like, what do I have to give up for Carson Wentz? Yeah, McLovin.
That, you know, Andrew Brandt of the world keeps saying the dead cap space or some cap space makes it impossible. Like, it's a $35 million hit on your cap immediately.
Yeah,
and that's just the beginning.
You would think that would be the hurdle, the financial hurdle to get Carson Wentz. And then you realize, then you get him in, now you got to fix him.
Well, Frank Reich is the guy for it, though, right?
I get it, but I'd rather not.
At what point can I throw some names at you for?
Well, you can't throw Deshaun Watson at
right,
me for the Colts.
How about Dak Prescott trying to outbid the Cowboys for Dak? If you're going to spend 40.
No, Dak is going to be the Cowboys.
All right.
Yeah. Now, Matthew Stafford.
I think you have to trade for him.
Matt Ryan. Right? I know.
Well, I was thinking of the free agents. How about Cam Newton or Jameis Winston?
Cam Newton, no. I'd have to know more about Jameis Winston.
A little interesting, because he could throw over some yards.
Yeah. He can, but that team is, they can run the ball, good defense. I don't want a quarterback who tries to be something he's not. That would be my biggest concern with whoever takes over the Colts. But, Chris Berman on the show tomorrow.
That is correct.
Are we going to circle the wagons?
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Yes.
I think if the Bills win the Super Bowl, Berman's in the parade. I'm barely kidding. Totally. He's been such a Bills guy for so long.
Oh, if he could. I don't know, you know, during COVID and any of those things.
In Hawaii.
He's the mayor of Hawaii.
Because aloha means aloha.
Ross Tucker is going to join us. He's doing the AFC title game.
I love Berman. I grew up on him, DP. No offense.
We'll talk to Russ Like, how much does he know about what's going on with Patrick Mahomes? Because you're broadcasting the game, and you know, do they have these Zoom calls, and what has he found out about Patrick Mahomes? Is it a concussion is what I want to know. But he'll join us coming up. And how important does he think this game is for Tom Brady in Lambeau? 21 after the hour, back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Mercedes-Benz, they go the extra mile. And I think when you get in one of these cars, now I have a sedan. It's the 500 series. It is a wonderful car, spectacular car. It's almost like you're sitting on a couch in the back seat. It just like screams luxury there. And then the Mercedes-Benz people brought in the Sprinter van. And I was not aware of the Sprinter van. I knew what it was. I just didn't know what it looked like inside. And they said, well, this is different. This is for a contest. You're giving this away. And this January 24th is the deadline there. No purchase necessary. Get information, entry details at foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. It's got all these TVs in there, great sound system. Yes,
it's like a limo and an RV, the fanciest limo and RV you can think of put together is the way I saw it.
But would you wash it if you owned it?
That I would.
No, you wouldn't.
I would wash that.
No, you wouldn't. You can go the extra mile, very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You can win. Go to, it's Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. Get official rules for a chance to win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Some equipment described as optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Chris Berman will join us on the program tomorrow. Brett Favre was on TMZ Sports, and he was talking about Patrick Mahomes, and he says that he thinks Mahomes' concussion is going to be a test for the NFL.
He will want to play, whether or not he passes the baseline test that he took initially, and the doctors feel he's able. This is a test for the NFL right now to see a star player in a crucial game. What will happen with their decision.
We welcome in Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman, host of Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he'll be working for Westwood One. He'll be working the sidelines for the AFC title game. Kickoff will be 6:40 Eastern on Sunday. Ross, do we know if this is a concussion with Patrick Mahomes?
It evidently, Dan, is not a concussion. Having watched a couple times, I think that he had momentary trauma to the carotid sinus area where the vagus nerve and baroreceptors are located. And I think what happened was really a vasovagal reaction.
Are you reading something?
I read that this morning from Dr. David Chow. The 20 years he was the Chargers team doctor, he doesn't think Mahomes actually had a concussion. He thinks basically, you ever see like a martial artist or a cop or whatever hit someone like here? He thinks that when Mac Wilson came up with his right arm and hit him, and he said in 20 years he never saw it in football, but based on the different reports that are leaking out and the video, that's what he believes happened, and he doesn't think Mahomes will have any problem getting cleared because he doesn't think he really had a concussion.
But also, he has to go through the concussion protocol. How long does it take you to go through the protocol? I mean, you can say, look, I don't have a concussion, but if you're in the concussion protocol, you have to go through the required steps, don't you?
Yeah, and one of them is a full practice. So I don't think we will hear that he is cleared until Friday afternoon, maybe Saturday morning, because they'll probably take it easy with him today. Maybe he does a full practice Thursday. Then he meets with the independent neurologist. And I know, Dan, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I understand that. But they really do have independent neurologists. They're not affiliated with the team, and those people have to clear them, and they do that for a reason. They want to make sure there's somebody who's not affiliated with the team, because there'd be a heck of a lot of pressure on that team doctor if that's who was in charge. It's really out of everybody's hands other than that independent neurologist at this point.
Can you hide a concussion nowadays?
Yeah, I think you can. You know, you can't hide what happened to Mahomes.
Yeah.
Where he, you know, he obviously stumbled to his feet. And I actually think, Dan, even if whatever Dr. Chow said, even if he's cleared, I got to think, like, I can just picture my mom, right, Dan, saying, that boy should not be able to play football. I saw him wobbly on his feet last Sunday. He should not be able to play. Like, I can just picture a bunch of people, my mom included, believing after what they saw last Sunday that that young man should not be able to play tackle football a week later. I don't have a problem with it as long as the independent neurologist clears him. But to your point, yeah, I mean, look, I had at least three concussions as a player, Dan. Never diagnosed, never said anything about it. Really, back then, unless you were knocked out, and this is only 2001 to 2008, but unless you were knocked out or you said something, there really was no way for them to know. I remember one time sitting on the bench and one of the practice squad offensive linemen was like, Tuck, are you okay? And I was kind of in a fog there for a good 3 or 4 minutes. Drew Bledsoe had thrown an interception. Like a total idiot, I tried to make the tackle, and Roosevelt Colvin blindsided me. The first thing that hit the ground was the back of my head. And I was kind of in a daze for a good 3 or 4 minutes. But other than the one practice squad O-lineman who saw me get killed, he was the only person to even talk to me about it.
What if Mahomes can't play? What are their chances against Buffalo?
Well, the only thing I would say is two factors in that. Number one, Henny played really well. I mean, Henny did a lot of really positive things. He had one terrible interception. I have no idea what was going on there, but he played pretty well. The other thing is, sometimes when there's a backup quarterback like that, I feel like, number one, the other guys rally around him and play better. And number two, whether it's conscious or subconscious, it just seems like sometimes the other side, I don't know. I don't want to say they let up, but it's like, okay, it's not Mahomes. It changes things a little bit. I will say this though, Dan, Chad Henne's from my small hometown, Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. He went to Wilson High School. I've known him for a while. I used to work out with his dad. And you know the way it is. I'm sure this happens to you all the time, Dan, where people tell you their kids are, you know, oh, let me tell you about my son. He's going to be a good athlete. I remember working out with Chad Henne's dad when I was in college. He's like, yeah, I think my son's going to be pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he's going to be great. Turns out he started 4 years for one of the top 10 schools in Pennsylvania and then 4 years at Michigan. Now he's in his 13th year in the NFL. So small world.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He'll be on the sidelines, the AFC title game with Westwood One. How important is this game to Tom Brady?
To his legacy, you mean?
Well, I brought this up, that his age, a year removed from the Patriots, you just beat Breeze. If you would happen to beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau when Rodgers is playing at an all-time level, he's your MVP. I'm not even getting to the Super Bowl yet. But I don't know if I'm overstating how big of a game this is for Brady to do what he's doing, if you factor in the other elements here of no longer with the Patriots, first year with Tampa Bay, age 43, on the road, and you're going to beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. Am I overstating it?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, look, the only arguments people have left against Brady, right, is that it was all Belichick and coaching, and that he's a system quarterback, blah, 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 both are laughable, but whatever. If he beats Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, at Lambeau, to go to a 10th Super Bowl with a new team, even those morons will have to shut up at this point, right? I mean, even those people won't be able to say it. But to be honest with you, I feel like he's kind of already done it. I mean, the Patriots had a 5-game deficit from 2019 to this year. The Bucs had a 4-game improvement. And I know the rosters aren't totally the same, but let's be honest. He's the major reason for that. And now to win two more playoff games to get to a 14th conference championship game. I mean, think about this. He's been to 14 conference championship games in the 19 years he's been a starting quarterback. That's 74%. It's absolutely insane. And frankly, Dan, for all the people with the system quarterback argument or the Belichick argument, well, I guess Brady brought the system to Tampa and New England stopped with the system. I don't know. Or for the Belichick thing, do you realize Belichick has one playoff win in the 8 years that Tom Brady was not his starting quarterback? I mean, that's a decent sample size now for Belichick without him.
By the way, Philip Rivers announced his retirement earlier this morning. We were debating. I guess the debate is first ballot Hall of Famer. What do you think?
I don't think he will be. No. I don't think he will be because, number one, I think Drew Brees would be ahead of him if Drew Brees retires as expected. So as far as a first ballot guy.
And Roethlisberger, if he happened to retire.
Correct. And not only that, I don't think Eli Manning necessarily will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He might not. So it might be, what would that be? Year two for Eli Manning. And there's not a good argument for Rivers over Eli Manning. There's just not. So I don't think Rivers gets, I think he eventually gets in sort of like Dan Fouts did, but I don't think Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. No, I don't think he will be.
But if I said you could have Ben Rivers or Eli as your quarterback for a decade?
Ben won for sure. Those next two guys are tough. Those next two guys are really, really tough. I think I'd probably, I feel like we're a little bit skewed based on how the last 5 years went for Rivers and Eli. If we're talking about their first 10 years or 10 years in the prime of their career,
prime,
I'd probably go Eli because, you know, I think people forget Rivers, like his first few years, Dan, they were loaded. I mean, they were loaded. Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson, the O-line was awesome. Sean Merriman. And I mean, they were loaded. And for whatever reason, he wasn't able to get it done to get to a Super Bowl and win it. Eli did it twice. Hard to take that away from him.
I think we got some really interesting offseason situations, obviously with Deshaun Watson there, but the Saints quarterbacking situation, the Colts quarterbacking situation, what's going on with the Eagles, what's going on with the Bears, Dak Prescott coming back with the Cowboys, Jimmy Garoppolo's future in San Francisco. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, what the Patriots are going to do. The number one quarterbacking situation that you would love to have an answer to right now is what? Aside from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I was going to say Watson because I feel like he's the domino that everything else comes off of. I'd love to know about New England, but just knowing them, Dan, and what they look at in terms of value, I think that they'll kind of wait it out. I think that they'll kind of see what happens with these other things with Jameis Winston and other places before they pounce. I guess I'll say Indy, and I'll say Indy because I feel like Philadelphia is directly related to it because there's a lot of people out there that seem to think the Colts want to get Carson Wentz to reunite him with Frank Reich. And I saw reports this morning that that's what Carson Wentz supposedly wants. Again, that's just a report, but that's what Wentz supposedly wants. So I think probably the Colts, because they're a playoff team, they're very good, and they might go and potentially get the quarterback from the Eagles, which then I guess means Hurts would be the guy in Philadelphia.
Have fun this weekend. Safe travels. Always great to talk to you. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm sideline duty, Dan, but I'm not actually allowed on the sideline, so I think I might be getting paid to sit in the third row and have a beer and a hot dog, hopefully. We'll find out.
Thank you, Ross. Ross Tucker, football podcast. He'll be on the sidelines for Westwood One Radio, where you can't be on the sidelines because you have to be in the stands. All these reporters, sideline reporters, aren't on the sidelines when they report. Tim in New Hampshire. Hey, Tim, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, sir.
Hey, just here's a hypothetical for you. Now, I want to get your opinion. If you were a Bills fan and the Bills make it to the Super Bowl, who would you rather face, the MVP Aaron Rodgers, number one seed Green Bay Packers, or Tom Brady, who is, 35-3 against Buffalo? It'll be a home game in Tampa Bay, plus the Bucs really took it to Green Bay earlier this year.
Mm.
So who do you like?
Oh, Tim, thanks for the phone call. I think if you factor in the so-called home field advantage, I don't know how many fans are going to be allowed to be in the building, but you get Tampa to have a week of prep work where they can actually have a normal life, as opposed to when you go to a Super Bowl, there's nothing normal about that for these teams. And if you're able to have a so-called normal life, you're not going to have many media members for the Super Bowl. I guess I'd rather face Aaron Rodgers on a neutral field than Tom Brady in Tampa. I mean, I'd rather not face Aaron Rodgers at all, the way he's playing right now. But I guess I would take that over a home game for Tom Brady. Plus, I never bet against Brady, especially when it comes to these games. You can't. Yeah, Paulie.
I wonder if Tampa makes the Super Bowl, will, like, the second week of Super Bowl week, will the Tampa Bay players be allowed to be at their homes, or do you think they'll be sequestered at a team hotel, team facility? Because no one's ever had a home Super Bowl before, right?
Yeah.
I would bet that they don't allow them too much freedom, even to be home with their families.
Well, didn't the Rams have the Super Bowl against the Steelers in Pasadena? That's as close as I think we've had to a home field advantage, even though they didn't play in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, McLevin.
I feel like teams stay in hotels for home games, too, the night before, at least.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I could see that.
I remember when we did the New York Super Bowl, I stayed in the hotel on your dime. Remember that? You probably don't remember. We had a New York Super Bowl. You guys were all within commuting distance. The week we did the...
Oh, yeah. And why were you in a hotel?
Just because, you know, I had a lot of parties and stuff to go to. I couldn't be taking care of my infants at home when it was Super Bowl week.
Oh, that's right. You wanted to get out of the apartment.
And you would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I forgot why you did it, but now I understand why you did it. You had to get your rest.
Yeah, and, you know, I had to work hard.
Yeah, you did. Of course you did. Yeah, Paul.
That was a celebrity-laden hotel we stayed at that New York Super Bowl week. In the lobby, Kevin Costner was shooting pool.
The Gansevoort?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Gansevoort. Yeah. And then you saw, Seton, did you go up to Costner or you decided not to?
No, I saw him one day in the hotel at the bar. I was there and I was like, holy crap, Kevin Costner's right there. And then the next day, I met up with my parents and they were in the lobby and I'm like, Ma, you're never going to believe this. Guess who was here at the bar last night? Kevin Costner. He was standing like right over there. And as I turned to say right over there, I could have been touching shoulders with him. He was so close to me. And I was like, oh my God, I hope he didn't just hear me say that. I felt so dumb.
Yeah, he was hanging out at the bar, a nice scarf on.
Yeah.
He had a scarf on?
But he pulled it off because he's Kevin Costner.
He was killing it. Yeah, killing it.
Yeah. He's shooting pool. He could shoot some stick.
All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. We'll close up shop right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Congratulations to Joe Biden, 46th President of the United States, as he was just inaugurated. And a beautiful day there in Washington, D.C. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We'll get to all that. We have a lottery situation here. And it didn't start out as a lottery situation because we were all involved. We put money in. By the way, nobody won last night. And we put our money in and pooled it together. And all of a sudden, I'm back in the back talking to the big German, Eric. And he went rogue. And I said, wait, I thought you're involved. He goes, no. You know, I went on my own there. So now it's kind of created a little bit. There's an awkward situation. There's something awkward going on in here now. Because the big German is there. And then nobody really knows what to talk to him about because we don't feel like he's one of us anymore. Yeah, Seton.
This is not a team player.
He's not.
It's just a stunning turn of events for the big German.
Yeah. In fact, his dog, Penny, didn't even want to come in today.
Distance herself?
Yes. She has distanced herself from the big German. So when you can see if you're watching on Peacock, no Penny. Penny said, nope, don't want to be associated with this guy. Yeah, Paul.
We do have one policy issue. Seton is the gatekeeper of all things lottery. He collected the money yesterday, bought the tickets, held on to them, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have to have your money in before Seton leaves the building to buy the tickets?
Well, that's going to be the new policy today.
Yeah, I think he has to have cash in hand. Yeah.
And then we're just going to actually get to the point where, sorry, you didn't get your $5 in. It looks like...
You lost out on $40 million.
You lost out on...
Yeah, okay.
And... Tens
and
of millions of dollars.
That's official policy.
Official policy starting
today. If Seton doesn't have the money in hand, you did not give him $5, then you do not take part when we win hundreds of millions of dollars.
That is the biggest news in America in the past 10 minutes.
Yes, Todd.
If you don't have $5 cash on you, can you leave some kind of collateral? Is there any other scenario?
Todd, this isn't something funny. It's a joke.
I'm not making a joke. I looked at my wallet. I have two singles in there and some coins.
That's enough for one ticket. Two singles.
How funny is this going to be when we come in and we are making it rain and
I'll be extremely disappointed. I thought we need $5.
When we're at the club?
We're not even. No, the club will be here.
Oh,
I'm going to have James Harden come here. Did you see where Udonis Haslem, who's still on the Miami Heat, which is amazing, he said that Harden is known for his partying habits and he didn't think it would be a good idea that the Miami Heat brought in James Harden because of South Beach. They talk about the South Beach flu, where teams will go into South Beach and all of a sudden they get rocked a little bit because they stay out and party just a little bit there. George in Ohio. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, sad to hear about the passing of Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton. I remember him as a real tough competitor.
Yep.
And also, you're talking about announcers. My favorite announcer of all time was Kurt Gowdy.
Yeah.
Because our little town here, Zanesville, has been an NBC affiliate since the early 50s. And I loved it when he was covering, like, my teams, like the 69 Rose Bowl, when the Buckeyes beat OJ. And the 71 basketball tournament, the Buckeyes lost to Western Kentucky. Oh, that sucked so bad.
Let me know. Zanesville still has the Y Bridge, right?
Still do, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the only one in the world. They had one in Germany that I think got bombed during the war. But, Zanesville is where I was born. But thank you, George. Thanks for calling in. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Since he can't actually be on the field, Ross Tucker's sideline duties for the AFC title game on Westwood One might involve just kicking back in the third row with a hot dog and beer.
McLovin?
Ross Tucker all of a sudden has a medical degree in some form of nerve damage.
That was fun. That was funny. Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, I thought Ross had some major breaking news there. But
Paulie?
We learned the difference between surgery and procedure.
What we learned brought to you by M-Drive. Take the supplement I take every day. M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. Help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets. Chris Berman will join us on the program tomorrow. Hope you will join us as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. If it's a new car, it's an older car. And keep this in mind. I did not know this until I got together with the Rock Auto guys. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine like you could 30 years ago. You need specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze. Rockauto.com has all of that. Plus, they have the part brands and prices and features you want. They're available 24/7. Go to the website and you can spend a long time there on the website just looking for parts you might have been told dealer only or no longer available. Parts delivered right to your home or office. You don't waste time, money, hunting for those parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com. Good luck.